Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The title of this message is The Doom of Satan. I want to read verses 7 through 10 at this time, and then we'll focus on verse 10 as our text today, having to do with the doom of Satan. Revelation 20, we'll begin with verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And now verse 10, the one we want to focus on for our text. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What is the future of this awesome and wicked being whom God's Word calls Satan? What is his destiny? God's holy word tells us that Satan is doomed, that his evil career will have an end. God's word is explicit about this doom. The word of God tells us that there is coming a time when Satan will no more deceive the nations, ruin people's lives, and lead them to hell. In our text in the book of Revelation, we have the final doom of Satan vividly portrayed. One reason Satan hates the book of Revelation and does everything that he can to keep preachers from preaching on this book is because Revelation makes clear his final humiliation and doom. In this message on the doom of Satan, we're going to consider three important aspects of that doom. First of all, we shall consider what God's Word says about Satan's punishment. God has declared in His holy Word that He will bring judgment on Satan for his wickedness. God made a promise when He pronounced the curse on the serpent in Eden that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Look at Genesis 3, 14 and 15 here. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. God is speaking to the serpent here. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it, that is her seed, shall bruise thy, that is Satan's, head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Revelation 12:9 tells us that this serpent was Satan. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. In Genesis 3:15, Satan's doom was prophesied 7,000 years before its final execution, or at least before now. It's been probably 6,000 years since the creation, but with the final 1,000 yet to come, 7,000 years before his final execution, it was prophesied. The scriptures seem to teach that God has fulfilled this promise in Genesis 3:15 in four stages. I've often wondered about some things that were said about the doom of Satan. It seems to say that it's already taken place, and yet you read along in another place and there's still some future aspect of it. So I believe this is the answer. The scriptures seem to teach that God has fulfilled the promise of Genesis 3:15 in four stages. First of all, stage one, the Lord Jesus bruised Satan's head, or He delivered a fatal wound to him when He died on the cross. Satan's judgment was assured at the cross. The Lord Jesus spoke of this. Look at John 12, 31 through 33. John 12, 31 through 33. Now is the judgment of this world. He's talking about the time of the cross. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now turn to Colossians 2:15. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 is speaking about Christ's work on the cross. Speaking about this same thing, stage one, Christ's work on the cross. Principalities and powers in this verse has reference to Satan and his demons. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is, in the cross. Even before this, Satan was cast out of heaven, of which we read in Ezekiel 28:16 and Luke 10:18. Let's read these two passages. First of all, Ezekiel 28 and verse 16. Ezekiel 28:16 talks about, these two verses talk about Satan being cast out of heaven. This is could be stage one, but I put it as in second place here. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, out of heaven, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You remember one of our previous messages, we saw that this has to do with the fall of Satan. Now look at Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18. This is another reference to Satan's falling from heaven, being cast out of heaven. Chapter 10 and verse 18 of the Gospel of Luke. Luke 10:18. And he, that is Christ, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, tells us about the third stage of Satan's punishment. It tells us that Satan will one day be chained in the bottomless pit during the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, tells us that. And then verses 7 through 9 of that same chapter, Revelation 20, then tells us that Satan will be released for a little while at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, stage four. Turn back to Revelation 20 and verse 10, our text. And here we have stage four. This scripture tells us that Satan will finally be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and be tormented day and night forever. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's Satan's punishment, an overview of the four stages. The second important aspect of Satan's doom that we shall consider here focuses on stage four of God's punishment of Satan. And that is Satan's final destiny. Satan's final destiny. In our text, attention is called to the fact that Satan is the deceiver. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Now, Satan the deceiver, his whole career has been one of deceiving people, of deception. He began his career by deceiving Eve in the garden. And today, he is still in the business of deceiving people all through this present age. He deceives people into thinking that sin and licentiousness and drunkenness and idolatry and false doctrine are good things to be indulged, and that there are other ways to be accepted with God rather than by trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. At the time of our text, Satan still has this same character at the time of his doom at last. Our text tells us that Satan's final destiny is to be cast into hell, which here is called the lake of fire and brimstone. The lake of fire is an almost incomprehensible thing. Think about it. A lake of burning fire. Have you ever tried to visualize that? Think about some big lake. I think about Yellowstone Lake. That's a huge lake. It's probably bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And think of that, and it's hundreds of feet deep. Think of that, a lake of burning fire. Then the word brimstone literally means burning sulfur and sulfurous fumes. And there are many references to brimstone in God's Word. For example, look at Psalm 11:6. Psalm 11:6. This is talking about God. Psalm 11 and verse 6. Many references to brimstone in the Word of God. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. I think about Pompeii. Hope you'll read about Pompeii sometime. I believe that's God's judgment outside the Bible. It's God's judgment on a city for their wickedness. And a volcano erupted, and all of that sulfurous stuff came down on that city and burned everyone alive. Burned them up. And brimstone, that's the idea. Sulfur. Burning sulfur. Now look at Isaiah 30, verse 33. Isaiah 30, verse 33. We're looking at biblical references to brimstone. For Tophet, and that's another word for hell, is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. And look at this last phrase. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Next, turn to Luke 17, verse 29. Luke 17, verse 29. Here, the Lord Jesus said that God rained fire and brimstone on the wicked homosexual cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Our text tells us that Satan's final destiny then is to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This lake is hell. Next, turn to Isaiah 14 and verse 15. Isaiah 14 and verse 15. Here, God prophesied this doom of Satan. This was 750 years before Christ. Isaiah 14 and verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And then verse 16 goes on to say that spectators will be amazed at Satan's doom here. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? This is the same hell into which God cast the angels that sinned long ago. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. This lake of fire and brimstone is the same hell into which God cast the angels that sinned. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Our text tells us that when Satan shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, the beast and the false prophet will already be there. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, here's the phrase, where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast here is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, whose coming, 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, is after the working of Satan with signs and lying wonders. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. This is talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's the beast. Now the false prophet here, and there are many false prophets, but there's one that God's Word calls the false prophet. And this false prophet here is a man whom Revelation 13, 11 through 18 says will cause people to worship the image of the beast, the Antichrist, and take his mark. Revelation 19, 20 tells us that at the end of the great tribulation, both the beast and the false prophet will be cast alive into the lake of fire. Let's turn to that. Revelation 19 and verse 20. At the end of the great tribulation, the beast and the false prophet will be cast alive into hell. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And in our text, we are told that Satan will be cast into this same lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet already are at that time. The punishment of Satan in the lake of fire is described here in two particulars. First of all, our text tells us that Satan will be tormented in this lake of fire and brimstone. We hear sometimes, rarely hear anything about hell anymore, but sometimes we hear people talking about the torments of hell. What are the torments of hell? Torment means torture. Experiencing mental anguish and bodily suffering. Fire and brimstone mean the inexpressible torments of burning in fire. Turn to Revelation 14 and verse 10. Revelation 14:10 speaks of how the worshipers of the Antichrist will be tormented or tortured with fire. Revelation 14:10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Other scriptures describe the torments, the mental agonies and physical sufferings of hell. In Matthew 8:12, the Lord Jesus describes hell as outer darkness. I've heard people laugh about, well, hell can't be burning in outer darkness at the same time. Well, the Bible says it is. I can't explain that. The Bible says it is. And the Lord Jesus said hell is going to be outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. One aspect of being in hell will be existing in darkness for all eternity. Are you afraid of the dark? I've known children that were afraid of the dark. I know some adults, they're still afraid of the dark. Are you afraid of the dark? If you go to hell, you're going to spend eternity in outer darkness. The closest thing I can think of that, is many years ago we went down in Carlsbad Caverns, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. But we got way down there about a mile below the surface of the earth, and they turned out the lights. And you talk about utter darkness. I mean, I kept going like this, and I couldn't see a thing. Utter darkness. Think about eternity in utter darkness. Look at Matthew 8:12. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. And He says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In Mark 9:44, the Lord Jesus describes the torments of hell when He says that hell is a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Let's look at that. Mark 9:44. Mark 9:44. And it says this same thing three times in this context here. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Think about it. Think about people in hell. Instead of gazing with joy and pleasure on God, Satan especially, instead of gazing on God with joy and pleasure, Satan and all of those in hell will have a never-ending and never-to-be-satisfied longing to escape. The suffering in hell will be brought on by the guilt of those who have sinned. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." By the way, let me just go back a little bit here. Do you notice we read about four or five scriptures about the torments of hell? Every single one of those were statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet today we hear these preachers say, "Oh, the Jesus I know is a man of love, and He wouldn't ever send somebody to hell." Well, He's the one that talks more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. All of those verses I read about the torments of hell were statements of the Lord Jesus. This punishment will be an exact measure of Satan's sin and the sins of men. Our text says that in hell, Satan shall be tormented day and night forever. So this lake of fire and brimstone is definitely not as Dante portrayed it in his poem, The Inferno. It's definitely not a place where Satan is ruling or is in charge and torments others who are there. That's not the hell the Bible presents at all. The fact is that Satan himself will be tormented in hell. Our text goes on to say that this torment will be eternal in duration. It will last forever. The duration of Satan's existence and suffering in the lake of fire and brimstone is defined here as forever and ever. This text tells us that Satan will continue to exist in the lake of fire and brimstone forever. Time is limited duration. Eternity is unlimited duration. Hell is eternal, and thus it is unlimited in duration. Eternity reaches on and on and on beyond the farthest thought, beyond the farthest imagination, beyond the farthest concept of time. Hell is eternal in duration. Now the two terms day and night and forever and ever emphatically teach that the torments of hell are eternal and unending. Day and night means unceasing, without intermission. You know, we use that term a lot, day and night. That means on and on, no interruption, no break, unceasing. Hell will be never-ending existence and an existence of never-ending torments. Hell will be ceaseless. Satan can never escape this suffering in the lake of fire and brimstone. This one who has brought untold sorrow and suffering to all mankind must one day suffer for all eternity with no relief. Revelation 4:10 says that in heaven the 24 elders worship the one who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Forever and ever here is the same term, the very same term that's used in our text to describe the duration of Satan's suffering in hell. The life of God is of the same duration as the suffering of Satan in hell. Listen to what it says in our text again. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the suffering of Satan and of all others in hell is of the same duration as the duration of the life of God. It's unending. This doom of Satan will be shared by the demons, because in Matthew 25:41, the Lord Jesus refers to hell as everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So the demons are going to be there. Look at Matthew 25:41. A lot of people wish this verse was not in the Bible. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus also says here in Matthew 25:41 that this lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels is also the destiny of all those who follow Satan and whose sins are not forgiven. All sinners. Look at it again. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All sinners who are not pardoned by God. All sinners who are not clothed in the perfect righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, in this life will share this place of eternal fire and torment. Hell will be the destiny of all wicked men, of all whose minds are enmity with God and Christ and with His people. It will be the eternal destiny of all rebels against God and against His Word. Are you a rebel against God today? This is your destiny. These things clearly teach that death is not annihilation as the Seventh-day Adventists say that it is. You know, they say, and I believe the Jehovah's Witnesses, the same thing, that in the end, when a person dies and after all the judgment and everything, just passes out of existence. He's annihilated. This clearly teaches there's no such thing as annihilation. Instead, the wicked exist forever, even though they are in torment. Our text proves that being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone will not end it all. Because the Scripture says here that they shall be tormented forever and ever. In Mark 9:49, the Lord Jesus says that those in hell shall be salted with fire. That's an interesting term there. Salted with fire. What is salt? What is the function of salt? Most of us think it's just to flavor our food, but that's not the real function of salt. The function of salt is as a preservative. My grandmother used to kill a, you know, the family would kill a hog and they'd salt it down. They'd butcher it and cover it with salt and put it in sawdust and put ice on top of it and then sawdust on top of that. It preserved it. Salt is a preservative. And so to be salted with fire means not consumed by the fire, but preserved in the fire. God's Word tells us that Satan is doomed to everlasting fire. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 25:41 says that along with Satan, all of the unsaved of the ages will share this fire with him. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The unsaved are condemned by the power of God to eternal hell. Our text says that Satan will remain in hell forever and ever. And again, this period runs parallel with the future of the saved in heaven. What a glorious thought. Look at Revelation 22 and verse 5. Revelation 22 and verse 5. Revelation 22:5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they, that is the saved, shall reign forever and ever. Exactly the same phrase that talks about the length of the duration of hell. Where will you spend eternity? The third important aspect of the doom of Satan that we want to consider here is the matter of when this will happen. The setting of our text is at the end of time, and Satan is now to be disposed of by God. Revelation 19:11-18 describes the return of Christ to this earth. And it says that's just before the 1,000 years. That's mentioned in Revelation 20. And this is Christ's 1,000-year reign on this earth. Verses 1 through 3 of this 20th chapter, from which our text is taken, says that Satan will be bound with a great chain and will be held in the abyss, the bottomless pit, during the 1,000 years. Look at verses 1 through 3 here, Revelation 20. 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now this term, the bottomless pit, is a translation of the Greek word abyss. That's where we get the word. They didn't translate that word into our language. They just brought it over into our language. The abyss. But bottomless pit here is a translation of that Greek word. Literally means without bottom. That's hard to conceive of. Without bottom. In 1954, our family visited Carlsbad Caverns out of New Mexico. I hope you'll go there someday if you ever get the opportunity. Deep down in that cave was a hole, a great big hole, far across us from here to the back of the auditorium, and that wide again. Just a big hole. And the ranger who was taking us around and telling us all about the cave picked up a rock about the size of a softball, and he tossed it in there where it would hit that far wall. And it hit that wall, and then it bounced off of this wall, and then off of that one. And I could just hear that thing on and on and on. And it finally got so faint, I couldn't tell whether it quit or whether it just got beyond earshot. The bottomless pit. That's just an earthly comparison. Satan will continue to exist in this bottomless pit all during the 1,000 years, this scripture says. Then he's going to be loosed a little season and will very soon stir up a rebellion against God, as we read in verses 7 through 9 of this 20th chapter of Revelation. 1,000 years, I think the significant point here is, 1,000 years chained in the bottomless pit will not change the wickedness of Satan's evil heart. His character will remain unchanged. His wicked purpose will still be to frustrate God's plans and harm God's people. Verse 9 of this chapter says that God will destroy Satan's rebellion. And he will then, according to our text, be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, into hell, with his two great officers, the beast and the false prophet. Revelation 20:19 makes clear that the beast and the false prophet will already be in the lake of fire, where they will have been from the start of the 1,000 years. This torment of Satan in the lake of fire and brimstone will not take place until all the things in Revelation chapters 19 and 20 have been fulfilled. So, we have seen what God's Word says about the doom of Satan. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In the end, my friends, Satan will be defeated. Oh, sometimes we think there's no hope. We'll never be able to overcome him. But he will be defeated. God will punish him for all his great wickedness. God's judgment on him has been delayed for a long, long time. But he shall not escape the punishment due or his great sin. His final doom is certain. The time of his complete humiliation is coming. No hope is held out for Satan in the Scriptures. There is no possibility of Satan's repentance and restoration. Instead of hope, he will only have unending despair. There is no saving grace for Satan and his fallen angels. But my friends, there is hope for the sinful followers of Satan in this world as long as they are alive in this world. While there is life, there is hope. Hope of salvation from sin and hope of heaven at last. To all who will repent of their sins and trust in the righteous life and substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, there is hope of forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and life in heaven forever and ever. What is your eternal destiny? Is it the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone? Or is it the unending bliss of heaven with Christ? Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for these words that tell us of the doom of Satan out of your holy book. Father, we have seen along with this the doom of unsaved sinners. Father, we pray, thinking about these awful things, we pray for our loved ones and our families that are lost and they're headed for this awful place. Dear Father, we pray today that you'd use this message to strike fear in their hearts and to show them their sin and their desperate need of a Savior. May they trust in Christ today and turn from their sins and go to heaven with us at last. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. and for His sake. Amen.
Let us stand together. What number, Brother Johnny?
Number 38.
Hymn number 38.